From WOSU Public Media in Columbus, Ohio, this is Classical 101's Opera Abbreviated. I'm your host, Christopher Purdy. I like to use the word technicolor when discussing Russian opera. Mussorgsky, Tchaikovsky, and Rimsky-Korsakov all use the orchestra and choruses at their disposal to their fullest. Remember, in those days, it was the Tsar's purse strings thought to be limitless. No less a spectacular music dramatist was Alexander Buradin. I know you know that tune, and you know that tune. Strangers in Paradise is a 20th century title. It's actually one of the Polovtsian dances from Alexander Buradin's huge unfinished opera, Prince Igor. Russian operas are often based either on Russian history or on works by Alexander Pushkin, sometimes both. Their hugeness in sound and in drama reflect an effort to bring Russian glory to the West, to end Russia's artistic isolation, and to show off. These operas are entertainment and also spectacles of Russian patriotism for the entire world. Buradin knew how to write tunes. You've already heard that. The Broadway hit Kismet has a score adapted from his music, but this composer first wrote music as a hobby. He was by profession a celebrated research chemist. He was able to work on and off on his music, and that's why a lot of it was left incomplete. There was no one finished score of Prince Igor in Buradin's handwriting. Conductors generally have to make choices between what Buradin left and improvements, close quote, added by others. Never mind, we have here a spectacular pageant. Marches, martial choruses, doomed love, death, murder, and a happy ending. And it's all in a day's work for this technicolor Russian opera. Prince Igor is a 12th century Russian nobleman. He sets off to fight the invading Polovtsian. The crowd cheers him on his way. Igor leaves his wife behind, Princess Yaroslavna, and her brother, Prince Galitsky. And with Galitsky on hand, dirty work is afoot. And also he leaves his son by his deceased first wife, Vladimir. Igor is defeated and captured by the Polovtsian ruler Khan Konchak. When it's suggested that Igor escape, he becomes indignant. Doing so is beneath a man of his stature, a prince and a general. The plot thickens as we learn that Vladimir has fallen in love with Konchakova, the daughter of the victorious Konchak. Let's hear another of the Polovtsian dances used to entice, distract, and defeat Prince Igor and his armies, also known as Bring On the Dancing Girls. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Galitsky, Igor's brother-in-law, is enjoying a drunken revel and cries out to his followers, "We will destroy Igor and crown Vladimir. What have we to lose?" Yaroslavna demands protection from her brother, but he disdains her. The Polovtsians are attacking again. Prince Igor and Vladimir are prisoners, and the war goes on. Igor and Vladimir plan an escape from Khan Konchak. Yaroslavna is desolate of hearing of their capture, and Konchakova is equally distraught that Vladimir will escape to his homeland and continue to war against her father. But guess what? This is a benevolent Russian opera. To end these ceaseless wars, Khan Konchak allows his daughter to marry her beloved Vladimir, and Prince Igor is allowed to return home in triumph, welcomed with a celebratory Technicolor chorus. Prince Igor had its first performance at the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg in 1890. The opera came to the Metropolitan in New York in 1915, sung in Italian, thank you very much, and it lasted three seasons. I don't know if it was the Italian or the length or the expense. Remember, the Tsar was gone by now. But Russian opera has to look as grand as it sounds. But we've waited since 1917 for a new look at this sprawling Russian opera, Prince Igor. And that's the final curtain on this edition of Opera Abbreviated from Classical 101 WOSU Public Media. I'm Christopher Purdy. For more information and for more podcasts, please go to wosu.org/classical101.